under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're talking about an issue today that I believe my thoughts, my position is that everybody should see very clearly. 2020 vision should show us today. When I say us, especially Christians, conservatives, patriots, those with sane minds, if you will, that we're living in dark days. We're living in the last days. The Bible is very, very clear in several, several places, but I'll touch on that which we find in chapter 3 and verse 1 and following of the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy says this, "But know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." And I could go on and on with the character, the characteristics of what we find in relationship to those that are in society today. And the point that I make, we're witnessing that come to the forefront visually, actually, philosophically, theoretically. We're witnessing that come to place today, come about today. We're seeing those that are marching in the streets, having parties, dancing with the vulgarities and explicatives, rejoicing over the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We're living in the last days. Ladies and gentlemen, across America and around the world, it appears that an alarm bell, listen, it appears that an alarm bell has sounded. We're witnessing millions of people in the streets, in the city squares, not rioting, but in prayer, prayer vigils, waving American flags, standing for truth, mourning the assassination of an American icon, Charlie Kirk. Listen, I believe that we're seeing a growing dark cloud hanging over America, hanging over our once moral, ethical, truth culture in our nation. We're going to be talking about that today, but listen very carefully. We're going to look at some of the innuendos. We'll look at some of the facts. We'll look at some of the things that's taking place from the Marxist media and the Socialist Communist Party on the left, what they're saying about Charlie Kirk's death. We'll look at what Christians, conservatives, and patriots are saying, but then I want to, in the latter portion of the broadcast today, I'm wanting to mirror what we see taking place with the elevation of Charlie Kirk. Listen, I'm not diminishing the value that he had to society and his stand. I am wanting to impress you with the fact that we had a martyr that went on before him 2,000 plus years ago, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. Died on Calvary's cruel cross for your sins and for mine. The Lord Jesus Christ was the first one to be martyred because of his belief, because of what he said, because of the truths that he taught, because of his stand against evil, because of the wicked people and the wicked hearts that, according to the scripture, because of envy, had Jesus crucified. So the bottom line that I want to challenge you with today is this very fact. Why not go a step back and place the same trust, the same confidence, the same waving of banners and flags and standing for truth that the Lord Jesus Christ stood for. It's honorable to recognize and commemorate Charlie Kirk. He lived and died as he lived and died. But listen, let's not forget our very best example was Jesus. We are called to live for him. We're called to emulate him. We're called to stand for him. We're called to follow him. We're called to live for him because he died for us. Now, I understand, and I'm not trying to circumvent or minusculize in any way what Kirk did and his stand. I'm thankful for his stand and his stand for truth. And the most wicked, dastardly deed that can be performed that vivifies and illustrates the heart, the life, and the callousness of those on the left is to see the left commemorating and celebrating Charlie Kirk's assassination. So it's my desire today to hear from you. That telephone number is going to be right after the monologue. That telephone number will be opened. Our lines will be open. I invite you to call in. The number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Immediately after the monologue, we'll open the lines. Want to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Are we wrong in commemorating and celebrating the life, the legacy of Charlie Kirk? Are we wrong in the emphasis that's been placed on it? I think not. But my personal opinion is we need to ponder a moment and recognize why is it that we're not giving that same accolades, those same commemorations, and those same thoughts and those same praises for the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It's the same group, the Christians, conservatives, that are doing that. And may I say to you, it's not a matter of having a displaced loyalty, but I believe it's a matter of having tunnel vision and not broadening the scope of what really is out there that we should be celebrating. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, that as we face the issues each and every day, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book, John 8:31-32. The Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the word of the Lord that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. We need to stand for truth. It was the secularist, George Orwell, that made this statement. I don't think there's any time that this has been any more clear that we could vivify than right here, right now, today. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." Now, place that in the category with Charlie Kirk. He was hated by the left. He was hated by those that hate the truth. He was hated and villainized by those that will not stand for truth, but will vary from it every time. And I'm delighted to see, I believe they said some 32,000 additional people have signed up for organization Turning Point USA to join, be a part of it, and set up clubs in their schools and in their communities across the nation and around the world. I'm delighted to see that kind of celebration. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to also celebrate the one that was the precursor to Charlie Kirk and the one that stands for truth even today and that gave his life for truth. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, let me read what he said. "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity." But yet, ladies and gentlemen, we read the recent survey. 55% of the millennials say there's no such thing as absolute truth. And I go to another article that I'll simply read the headline and a brief snippet. Western society will be destroyed. Hear that statement? Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. America's institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among these institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And it goes on to talk about, in education being the one that's most fashionable, it says truth is relative, or that it's a matter of individual perception or cultural mores. And even there, and even at that, there's no such thing as absolute truth. That's coming out of the upper echelon of academia today. Prestigious universities that are brainwashing, sexualizing, and destroying the lives and the hearts of our youngsters, our children, and our grandchildren as they go off to these institutions. This is one of the reasons, by the way, that Charlie Kirk said you don't have to go to college. In fact, he's proven over and over again in some of his speeches, some of his confrontational meetings where he would challenge the left, and finding out that those with credentials or higher education or involved in the educational process literally showed forth in their questions and their responses to questions that they really were ignorant people. I'm not laughing because they're ignorant. I'm laughing because of the way he uniquely brought to the forefront that their piece of paper that said you've got an education proved that they didn't have an education. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the broadcast today is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and has the full line of Honda generators and the knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Perhaps you say, where's Tools for Time? They're located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole, you'll find Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, we'll open our telephone lines. But let me remind you again, we're talking about living in dark days. These are the last days, and they're darkening as the darkening cloud comes over. You may not walk out and see it. You'll see sunshine, but we're living in the darkening of the dark days when you have an individual that, because of his beliefs as a Christian, because of his beliefs, conservatively speaking, as a political figure, as a result of that, he is summarily assassinated, and you find those around the globe, especially in America, that are celebrating that. I'm looking at a headline. He was the fascist. Kirk shooting suspect faces murder charges that could result in the death penalty. The Examiner explained, authorities said Robertson had become increasingly political in the recent months. At one point, he argued with his family members that Charlie Kirk, as he's arguing around the dinner table, saying that Kirk was full of hate and spreading hate. Robinson then mentioned that Kirk was coming to Utah Valley University and he objected to his presence, that is, his, Charlie Kirk's presence on the campus of the university. The stage was set. I believe the family members recognized his proclivity and his leaning. I am without a doubt recognizing and understanding that many of those on the dark web, as it's called, with the social media out there that's filled with the transgender organizational groups, the LGBTQ sodomite groups, all with accolades for Charlie Kirk, and it's because Charlie Kirk evidently, not Charlie Kirk, it was, I'm sorry, twisted tongue, it was the shooter, the assassin, that was living with a transgendered person, and I believe it's as a result of that that his mind was warped, his heart was twisted and darkened according to the scripture. We're going to look at that later in this broadcast. But ladies and gentlemen, love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood, you're dead on point. And it's ridiculous the way these are supposed to be professional people and professors in university, they are just as stupid as a box of rocks. I don't mean to say it like that, but they are ignorant to history, number one, because communism will not work. And they're talking about, here's a fascist. They are fascists. They really are, if you really look at it.
Absolutely. Without any question, you can find that to be factual. In fact, it was the shooter that was a fascist person, and many do not understand the term, what it connotes and what it means. But if you want to know what it means and the connotation, just look at Tyler Robinson and his life and his means and what he was thinking that needed to be done. An individual that's warped-minded enough to think that, okay, I can kill this person, and it was caused to cease and desist any opposition in speech, any opposition and political dialogue and discussion. Somehow, some way, there's a warped mind. And it goes back, Kenneth, in my opinion, based on what you find in the scripture. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And here are these people trying to figure out, and a lot of people trying to figure out, why did he do this? What did he mean? It's because the heart is desperately wicked. It is a sinful, wretched heart that brought this about. But it is incumbent, I believe, on us to recognize, and this is my point, Kenneth, and I want our listeners to understand today. I'm not minimizing Charlie Kirk's impact on society. I'm not minimizing the need to recognize and commemorate what he has done, but I am trying to say we ought not to place that before our recognition of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of our accolades, all of our praise, all of our commemoration ought to go to him, and recognize that it's through him that Charlie Kirk was trying to emulate, and it was from the emulation of Christ that brought about the hatred and the venom, vitriol from the left, because I believe I can say without any equivocation, the socialist, Marxist, communist left, called the Democratic Party, hates God, they hate the scripture, they hate truth, they hate morals, they hate ethics, they hate values, and anybody that stands for that, they want to eliminate, wipe out, eviscerate, and destroy. So, Kenneth, it deserves our prayer and our recognition of the times in which we're living. But thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. I believe Joe's on the line. Joe, go ahead with your question or comments, please.
Thank you for taking my call. It's very hard to hear, but I just want you to know, without you in my home, I would be dead. That's where I would be. I tell everybody that I visit, what do you have in your home? Do you have a particular radio station, or do you have the Lord somehow personified? What are you doing? Just watching TV? Get rid of it. You know, you have so much truth, I can hardly even take it. If they only knew the man gave his life that you might have eternal life, wouldn't that be enough to wake you up? And yes. The churches, they're so dead. I'm going to one next day or two on Sunday and tell them, wake up. Why are you sitting here? You need your whole, this world is, the cloud is coming, like you say. You need to be out in the streets. These people are on the way to hell, and you want to go, you're interested in, you know, having dinner in the afternoon. I said, you got to get there. And a friend of mine wrote a big, long letter to the church saying, you better get on the stick. You're not going to even have a church here. You know, you're not going ahead with the gospel. It's music first. Music, music, music. So we're going to get rid of all that. I love everything you say. I love how you think. And we'll never get rid of your station. And we'll listen to you all the time and everything. Because it's truth, plain truth. And there's so little of it left.
Amen. Well, Joe, brother, I'm humbled by your comments and your compliments and your statement, but you're exactly right. I believe it's time the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ wake up and stand up for truth. In fact, you've probably heard me say before for many, many, many years, we need to have preachers that will grow a spine and speak the truth from the pulpit without being afraid of numbers, nickels, and noses. The problem in our churches today, the problem in most of our churches today, as you touched on so eloquently and clearly, is that the focus focuses on music, the rock and roll music, 35, 45, 50 minutes, then 10, 15, 20 minutes of a sermonette for Christianettes that do not exegete the Word of God. I think it's time that we recognize that's part and parcel of what we see in the Scripture, where the Scripture talks about the apostasy. We're in the height of apostasy today in America. I don't know about you, but I think that I understand your heart and what you're saying. Most of the churches you go into today, they have the strobe lights on, the black lights, the lights are out, the walls are painted black, rock and roll music for the first 35, 45 minutes, and then somebody will come out in the torn jeans, earrings in his ears, in his nose, with spiked hair or otherwise, and then talk about things that are antithetical to the Word of God. Much of it is psychobabble. And I'm saying that because, as the little boy says, I can, because I'm a pastor, as the little boy says, I can throw rocks and talk about them because I are one. That's programmer, but it makes a point. But I believe it's time.
Well, I urge everyone listening to pray for this man that's speaking right now. It's an honor to hear him. Everyone should be praying for this man all the time. He's very important in your life. I'll sign off now. Go ahead. Thank you so much.
But Joe, brother, God bless you for your comments. And as only thing I could say for Joe, ladies and gentlemen, is may his tribe increase. There is a need for that heart and the mindset that we sense in Joe's conversation today. And it is my plea and my prayer today that we will hear that and understand the need to get back to fundamental basics, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible Word of God, the truth book, and stand on that regardless of what a politician might say. One of the things, Joe, I want you to understand, even though you've already left the conversation, but you're listening, and for our audience today, one of the things that needs to be understood, most pastors are afraid of the 501c3 that supposedly hushed the mouths of preachers for about 70 years, and that was the fact the amendment, the Johnson Amendment in 1954, as he was a senator, that had the IRS say that pastors could not talk about politics or political things in the pulpits. That was absolutely false. It never has been enforced. It never has been pushed. There's never been a church or a pastor that's been prosecuted, put in jail for standing for truth in the pulpit. As Christians, as conservatives, we need to get back to the fundamental basics that God has given us liberty. The liberties we have today are God-given, codified in our Bill of Rights, and confirmed in the U.S. Supreme Court with the freedom of speech and the religious liberty that we have. And it's time for Christians and pastors to get back to the fundamental reality that if we don't use it, we're going to lose it. And for the church in particular, we need to understand what we see taking place today with the praise, the accolades, and the commemoration of Charlie Kirk. We need to go back to fundamental basics and say that's the position that the church ought to take in celebration of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe Lily's on the line. Lily, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Youngblood. Good day, and God continue to bless you with what you're doing. As we know that God has never left himself without a witness. Praise God. So you are standing up today. One among the few that are standing up and speaking up. You are one. And just as in the days with the early days of the history of humanity, as they give us a picture with dealing with Israel, especially the nation, there was always Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah, and the rest of the prophets, Amos. They were always there to speak of God. Always have a witness. today we're looking at the freedom on the line. Our constitution, and but as you have been pointing out, the real thing is the death of truth. The
yes.
death of truth. That was
right.
Truth. Yes, and I'm looking at it that over the years coming down, especially in the 60s, we opened the doors wide, fling wide the doors as the God, by word of God. So we shouldn't give any place to the enemy. And that's what they did, like in the 60s, when we opened the doors wide for the powers of darkness to move in on our culture. And when we especially did a lot of things, but especially when we say, okay, we're going to bow to the enemy and stop praying in Jesus' name. Get rid of that out of the culture. Mm-hmm. And take the Bible.
That's been attempted. Prayer's been taken out of the classroom. Bible's been taken out of the classroom. And for the most part, the pledge to the flag's been taken out of the classroom. Yes. But Lily, let me go back and do a little parenthetical footnote on what you have just said.
Yes.
What I am doing is what every Christian, hear me, every Christian ought to do. It's being salt and light in a decaying, dying, darkening society. One of the problems we have, if I can go back to the negative aspect of it, one of the problems that we have, Christians so long have been frightened and fearful, timid and intimidated that they do not want to speak out. This is the reason I'm so thankful to see the death of Charlie Kirk and what it has brought out. It's bringing out the spine, the backbone, and taking Christians out of the timidity that brings them forth to be valiant and not afraid. The scripture says very clearly in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God's not given us a spirit of fear. But for too long, for too many years, Lily, Christians have lived in fear. Fear or intimidation, afraid that if I pray publicly over my meal in the restaurant, somebody might laugh at me. If I tell somebody about Jesus and they refuse, somebody might reject me. If I go out and let folks know that I'm a Christian and pass out a gospel tract or share the gospel with somebody, somehow, some way, the Christians, have felt intimidated to do so. And so I am saying thank you, Lord, that hopefully, prayerfully, the doors have been opened wide that will cause Christians and hopefully pastors to grow a spine, to grow a backbone, be valiant witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my desire. That's my hope. That's my prayer. And it's my desire each day to see people wake up, be educated to the truth, and grow a spine and stand for Jesus. What say you?
When we, in the 60s, as I said, we opened the doors to the, and let the enemy in. What the enemy did, what happened is that the enemy took over the education system and captured the minds of our children, our young people, in these institutions, especially the Ivy League from where we stopped. And what has happened now with Charlie Kirk? Is the enemy has control of the minds of our children, and because God lit a fire in the heart and soul of this young man, Charles Kirk, and Charlie Kirk is trying to turn up to upset what the system has done to the in the colleges and universities to the minds of Charlie Kirk was trying to upset that by speaking to the hearts of the young people and influencing them away from the poison that has been thrown upon them. The powers of darkness would not allow Charlie Kirk to continue, and this is why they have moved in and to say cut off his life. But that's how the enemy worked over the years. God could have saved his life just like he did with Trump in Pennsylvania the other day. That bullet, that is the tremendous miracle of the bullet that was to get his head, that just brushed the ears, and that's it. God could have saved, but praise God, hallelujah. A fire was lit in the soul of Charlie Kirk, and he, in his short lifetime, he did what the Lord called him to do, and he accomplished his work in lighting a fire. And what the enemy do now by cutting him off, hallelujah. God
Amen.
Is Almighty,
well,
God, a wonderful God.
Amen. And Lily, one of the things that I can leave your thinking and for our listeners to understand, according to Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 through 14, it's the two witnesses in the days of the tribulation when they'll be out on the street corners preaching and teaching the gospel. The world will hate them. They will be assassinated on the street corners and left there. But the scripture says very, very clearly that they did not die. They could not be killed until their testimony was over. So even though we talk about Charlie Charlie Kirk's 31 years, and his life was cut short. It may not have been cut short from the standpoint of what God sees and God's purpose in using him that will stir the hearts and the lives of young people today to turn back to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer. That's my desire. So, Lily, thank you so much for your call today, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, living in the last days, dark days that are before us. And I'm not talking about something that needs to be macabre or dark or sad, but the facts of where we are and what we need to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.
WTRJ.